Grace and peace to you from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. How do we mere humans know God? I mean, nature testifies to the existence of God. The very rule of life tells us that. Life does not come from non-life. Life only comes from life. Our conscience tells us that we are accountable for our actions. The very concept of morality points to God. But knowing that there is a God and knowing who that God is are completely different topics. Most of the devout atheists believe in a God, whether they like it or not. They just don't know anything about him. They don't know what he's called or what his attributes are like or anything about him. So how do we know God? Well, we know God and because we know what he's like. But how do we know what he's like? How do we know how God feels about us? How do we know God's will for us? His dispensation towards us, if you will. Well, we believe God told us. God has shown us who he is. He has come to us. He has made himself known in the words of Scripture, through the prophets, through the writings of the epistles. In short, we need God to do for us what God did for Moses so long ago, which is to make himself known. You see, one day Moses was tending his father-in-law's flock in the wilderness of Midian. Moses, you might recall, was the child of royal privilege. He was not raised to be a sheep herder. He was an Israelite with his fellow Israelites at the time. He was born into slavery under the rules of that country. And he was, as the law required, cast into the Nile River. I mean, not really as commanded, but he was put into the Nile River by his mother in a wicker basket. You might call it a loophole, so to speak. The blessed boy was then rescued from the river by the Egyptians, by Pharaoh's daughter. He was then raised in the palace. I assume Pharaoh probably had plenty of daughters. I don't know why this one got to keep a little pet Hebrew kid and none of the rest of them did. I don't know. I'd like to see that played out on the silver screen. I think that'd make excellent fan fiction for those of you who love to write. Great short story at the very least. But he was raised in the palace. Eventually he has to flee, though, because he murders an Egyptian taskmaster and, fear for his life, takes off into the wilderness. So here we find him in the wilderness watching sheep in the land of Midian, doing what he had been doing for 40 years. He's a second career guy working on this new one. Moses is shepherding the flock out by Mount Horeb, and he saw something that he didn't understand, a bush that was burning, but the bush didn't seem to be consumed by the fire. So he went to investigate a little bit more, and once he got close, the Lord called to him from the bush, "Moses, Moses." It's my Charlton Heston imitation there from the 50s. I really like that part. Moses responded, "Here I am." The Lord told him not to come too close, to take off his sandals, because the place where he was standing was holy ground. Why was the place holy? Well, the place was holy because God was there. That's what makes holy places holy, that if God's actually there, where the king goes, the kingdom goes. The personal presence of the Lord had come to Moses and revealed himself to Moses, as was known by Moses. And then Moses told us. And he had come to Moses in a most remarkable way. The fire of the burning bush indicated the Lord's divine holiness in the fire. But the fire was found in the most humblest of desert scrub. I mean, Moses doesn't even tell us the name of the bush. Nothing. It's just bush. The Lord revealed himself most graciously in his divine might, but also humbly. And then God gave a revelation unto Moses about who he was. From the burning bush, God told Moses that he was sending him to Pharaoh to bring the people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Let my people go. Moses responded that he didn't want to do it, but I only have so much time. And he answered, who should I tell them have sent me to do this? God answered, I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel. I am has sent you. So who is this I am? This humble first person present verb, Yahweh. Well, he is the one, the alone, the eternal, the independent, the almighty, the unchangeable, the prime mover. He is all of all and more. And he's not merely present, but he's also active. First person present. Active. He's an active God and a present God. And he is for his people with a purpose. With them to be their God, caring for his people. To make that clear, the Lord proceeded to identify himself even more, saying to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, the Lord your God, the God of your fathers, Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. So who is this I am? Well, he is the one who promised the patriarchs of Israel that he would make them into a great nation, that he would give them a land to call their own as a home, and that he would bring through them a blessing unto all of the nations. He is. He is the one who is now setting into motion the fulfillment of those events. At Mount Horeb, the Lord showed himself to be a God who is gracious, gracious in coming to his people, who makes himself known to them. In the burning bush, he reveals himself as God, but he also reveals himself as one who comes through humble means. In his words of Moses, he identifies him as the God who can be trusted, the God who remembers, the God who acts, the God who keeps his promises. In this fullness, this greatest fulfillment, the promise of an offspring from Abraham who would be a great blessing unto all the nations of the earth. And God gave then an even more astonishing, even more revealing disclosure of who he is and what he's like. As the Lord came to Moses in the wilderness of Horeb, so too does God's Son come unto us in the wilderness of our own fallen world. He comes to us personally, first person, active, present. He comes to us in this most remarkable way. He comes to us in his perfect deity, but yet wrapped up in the humility of an average, ordinary man, beginning as a baby. A lot like what Moses sees in that flaming bush, the true divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ is present in, with, and under his true humanity. As Paul put it in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, in him the whole fullness of the deity dwells bodily. Because of his divine nature, wherever Jesus walked, wherever Jesus knelt, wherever Jesus prayed, wherever Jesus ate, wherever Jesus was hung, that was holy ground. Because where the king is, the kingdom is. And the king is here. By his gracious invitation, he has called us here. At Horeb, this holy God referred to himself in his name. And then gives us a more fuller revelation of who he is later on in the New Testament with his personal name, that personal name of Jesus, which means the Lord saves. Again, this is an expression not only of who God is, but what he's here to do. The Lord saves. He is the Lord. He is the Lord who came to save us from our sins. In his teachings, he reveals more about his identity. He reveals more about his mission through additional titles and names throughout his ministry, through these what we call in John's gospel, those I am statements. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am the door for the sheep. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. And most remarkably, he just simply says, I am. And adopts that divine name of God the Father onto himself. Jesus said that those who were truly the children of Abraham do like Abraham did. What specifically did Abraham do? Well, he believed the God, the promises of God. This is his claim to fame. Out of all the great things that Abraham should have done, could have done, would have done, the most important thing that we pull out is the fact that he believed God. That God was trustworthy. That he would do the things that he said he was going to do. By faith, Abraham saw the good news of the Savior to come, Jesus Christ, and he rejoiced. So too, the true children of Abraham who share in the faith of Abraham, Galatians chapter 3, verse 7, Jesus' opponents responded with scoffing. You're not 50 years old yet, you've seen Abraham. Jesus replied with some of the most remarkable words ever spoken. Truly, truly, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. With those words, Jesus is applying the holy divine name unto himself. He's identifying himself as the eternal Lord God of heaven and earth in the flesh. Jesus' opponents clearly understand what he's saying. You can tell they understand what he's saying because they pick up stones in order to kill him right there in the street. But it wasn't his time yet. So Jesus quietly just backs off. Sometimes people go, but it must have been quite a miracle. I don't know, have you ever seen like modern Middle Eastern people fighting in the streets? They all kind of look the same with the same garb and just sort of this mass happens and he just goes, zoop. Because it wasn't his time. And he left that place. And proceeded on the path that would culminate in the greatest revelation that Christ could give us. A journey that led him through the passages of rejection and betrayal and atonement. Ultimately, it brought him to the cross where our God was most fully revealed himself. And there we see him as the mighty creator who died for his creation's sins. A good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. A God who came to us and became a man so that he could die for mankind and bring us unto God after revealing unto us who God is. At Mount Calvary, we see an even greater revelation of God that was given to Moses. Indeed, we see most clearly just how wonderful his love is for us. Christ crucified. Our God most fully revealing of himself on the cross. We see Jesus as he wishes to be made known throughout all generations. A God who came as a servant to bear our sins and to be our Savior. A God who loved our lives more than his life. A God who came in lowliness so that he could be lifted up upon a cross. A God that is perfectly wise and precise and made known to us. And we know him by his words and by his grace today. He comes as the God of our fathers. He comes as the Lord God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And once again, still, he comes in very subtle and gentle ways. Like the one who spoke to Moses through a little burning bush on the side of a mountain. Who in his incarnation came to us in the form of the most humblest of servants, a baby. Who now comes in gentle splashings of water and holy baptism. Who comes in the small, simple voice of the Holy Spirit as we read Scripture and pray His words back to Him and make our confessions. And that small sip of water and tiny crust of bread that is the Lord's true body and blood given for the forgiveness of our sins and the strengthening of our faith. He is a God who comes to us in humble ways, but with great divine power. No matter where he goes, this is holy ground. Because here the king comes to meet with the subjects. And where the kingdom is, there is the king. And where the king is, the kingdom is as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.